Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 as in popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, 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 everybody. My name is Doug, and I love Mamma Mia. This is Doug Loves Movies, coming to you once again from the sequel to The Book of Eli, with another Homes Alone edition. It's Sunday, September 20th, 2020. Whoa, 2020. And my guests today all have perfect vision. I don't know if that's true. please welcome quietly in your own homes, Sam Levine, Brian Miller, and Beth Stelling.
Yay.
All here. All three of you are here. Let's meet them individually, not alphabetically, because for some reason I book women on this show who seem to always be alphabetically last, and that just doesn't feel right. So let's say hi to her first this time. Hi, Beth Stelling.
Hello. So happy to be here. Happy Sunday.
Oh, happy Sunday. And everybody's raving about your special on HBO Max.
Hello, it's called Girl Daddy. Get that free trial in. Watch it.
Yeah,
leave it streaming.
So much positivity around that special. I can't wait to watch it.
And, yeah, I'll send you the private link if you need it, Doug.
Oh, I love that, because HBO Max is exclusively for people named Max, right?
That's true.
So and I can't get
that
it.
That is nice. No, unless you want to legally change your name, but I like Doug.
I'm glad you do. I slapped it on a few podcasts, so I got it.
You're kind of locked into Doug.
But thank you for being here with us today. Also joining us, have you two comedians met? It's Brian Miller. Hey, Brian Miller.
Hey, Doug, how's it going? And I don't know if Beth and I have actually met. We both are good pals with Cy Amundsen. That's who we know.
I love Cy.
And yeah, well, I'm not entirely convinced by that delivery, but
wait, hold on, let me take it again. I love Cy.
There it is. Good? All right, second pass was strong. Yeah.
Thank you.
That voice sounded like Cy was being charged. But Brian Miller, of course, is a Minneapolis comedy phenom. We were supposed to work together at the Acme Comedy Club there in Minneapolis a couple of months back, but things were still, too intense for me personally, especially also because you know, clubs have to do, you know, more limited seating. So also just, it gets to a point where, like, you know, money wise, it doesn't even, doesn't make sense.
26 shows, Doug?
I'm gonna do yeah, I mean, that's the fun thing is I saw somebody, like, they were promoting some comedian over a weekend saying all 8 shows sold out, and I'm like, yeah, because you know, you're at 25% capacity or some ridiculous thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it gives you opportunities to say you're selling out, but the rooms are small. Yeah. Have you done stand-up at Acme, Brian?
Yeah, they got a pretty great setup. They're doing about as well as any place I've seen with the restrictions, and they've got a good setup. But I think they seat like 75 or 80 people, which is still, it still feels pretty good when they get, you know, half or more of that full.
Yeah, and it's great for, there's such a comedy scene in Minneapolis. I'm so glad that some place is open, you know. For comedians to continue to do their thing, but I just don't know if traveling around doing comedy is really, you know, smart right now.
Oh yeah, it's region-wise. Plus, there's no reason to pay to. I mean, staying in a hotel is kind of weird. Have you stayed in a hotel since all this started?
I have a few times. I've done a couple of staycations in California. Like, I got the brilliant. I mean, I can't tell you how proud of myself I am when I got the idea to leave LA on July 4th and go stay at a hotel in Orange County. Because, you know, you probably saw it. Like, LA was like just a fucking Blade Runner hellscape of explosions. And I was in Irvine, where I swear to you, 4th of July, I did not hear one firecracker the entire night.
Wow. Any gunshots, though?
No, I mean, I don't know if you've been to Irvine, but it's all concrete and hedges and corporate buildings. I don't think anybody lives there. Like, if you run out of gas in Irvine, you gotta walk somewhere and get a can and go through all that.
Or go to Weber Grill.
I can only think of two gas stations in the city of Irvine, and I've driven all over that city because the Irvine Improv has been in several different spots there for many years. But I have to introduce our third guest today, who is coming in to basically help me out because we had a fallout this morning. Someone that was booked to do the show today, I couldn't make it for, you know, when somebody says to me, oh, I'm sorry, I just, you know, right now it's just, I can't, you know, it's, you don't need to make any excuses. All you have to just say is, I can't do it right now.
And, that's nice of you.
Yeah. Well, not that he's listening right now, but I don't want to throw anybody under anything.
Was it Ruth Bader Ginsburg?
I almost made that joke, and I was just like, I don't know if that's going to I mean, in this room, between the four of us, I'm sure it's fine, but people are really, you know, it's really a big deal that she is.
It is, yes, it's a very big deal.
I mean, it's probably the most impactful death of an individual in my lifetime in terms of that it causes immediate change in the world.
Outside of Michael Jackson, yeah.
Yeah, that is another great example. But filling in today, not filling in, he's just a guest. It's Sam the Ma'am Levine, everybody.
Hey! Oh, thank you. What an intro. Oh, yeah. That's going on my reel.
People love to be, they love the host to get sidetracked during the intro. Mm-hmm. There's nothing better than standing around wondering when they're just going to say your fucking name. But yeah, thank you for being here, dude, and for responding to the call. Because what I did was I took to Twitter, because now they got this great thing on Twitter where you can just click on only people you follow can respond. So I don't have to see any joke answers from people about how they're willing to be on Doug Loves Movies today. Mm. I can only hear from people I already follow on Twitter. So I just threw it out there to people I follow. And then, you know, Sam, of course, was the first one to hit me up. But I got a couple of great new guests coming up in the next few weeks because I met them over Twitter looking for somebody today.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So great ending to that story. I mean, it's not satisfying to the listener, per se, but for me, it all worked out great. How are you doing, Sam? Are you going back to production anywhere? Are you acting in anything during this?
As a matter of fact, yes. I acted last weekend. I was on my very first set since COVID started, and it was a surreal experience. Because we shot on location in this house in the city of Los Angeles, and the only people allowed in the room when we were shooting were me, the other actor, the camera operator, and the boom operator.
Welcome to the adult film industry.
And that is pretty much what it felt like. And they wanted me and this actress to keep our masks on while we were rehearsing with the director. And I was like, I get that we have to play it safe, but this is now affecting our ability to read each other's reactions.
Yeah, so, and also, I mean, if you're going to spit on each other, you're going to spit on each other. Like, it's rehearsal and then do the scene. You're still going to do the scene with no masks.
Exactly. And also, we had both gone through multiple days in a row of being tested for COVID leading up to production, including the morning of. Like, I got there and they made me sit in my car. I got my test on set and they made me sit in my car. And then I had to wait for a text to come in to say, okay, your test came back negative. You're okay to work.
Are you sure that's not just how they prefer to deal with you?
You know what? You might be right. I'm a bit of a problem on set, I've been told.
They really wanted to take hope in that you're positive. You. They wanted you to test positive so bad.
They're like, so bad.
Do you know Tom Selleck in the wings?
They had an understudy there, actually.
Is that a thing, really?
They really did. They had an actor ready to take over if I tested positive, yeah.
The definition of you can be replaced.
Absolutely.
Did he look devastated?
I don't know. I never got to meet him.
Oh, right. He was in his car, I guess.
Yeah.
He was like, those COVID droplets didn't work. He's clean.
I was there another, like, 12 hours. I want to know if that guy got paid. I want his job.
Yeah.
That's
good.
Yeah,
he probably
just got to sit in his car.
Yeah. He got released as soon as I tested negative, so.
Do you think he learned the lines also?
I believe that he did. I believe he had to be ready to go.
But there was no understudy for the lady part?
There was. And she also got sent home.
Yeah. They both, but that's a, I didn't even think that they would do that. Like, why is it so important to get this? What kind of show was this?
Wait, we just assume you're working on unimportant projects?
It was porn, Doug. It was a porn show.
Yeah. Yeah, does that mean somebody else is going to be Batman? Did Pattinson's understudy like get the biggest green light of all time?
It was a, I believe, Doug, it actually was a commercial.
Oh, okay.
So wasn't, so I don't know.
Once you're shooting the scene, like, were you 6 feet apart from each other in the scene, or did you get?
No, there were moments in the scene where we were right next to each other. So it was very silly to be like, okay, well, now we need you guys to put your masks on. I was like, you've tested us, me personally, 3 days in a row. My test from 6 hours ago was negative. Either I have COVID or I don't.
Right.
And I think we've established I don't. Can I keep my mask off while I'm trying to rehearse with the other actor? Thank you.
Yeah, and you're not bringing it back to anybody if you did happen to catch it that day.
Exactly. Yeah, so I don't know. It was a little frustrating, but I guess, you know, if that's what it takes to get production back and going again, then
That's the other thing is on the other side of that, there's probably scary productions happening in cities where they don't have any restrictions regarding COVID. Like California is very strict, whereas places they might be shooting and the actors might be scared for their lives and throwing their masks on every chance they get, you know?
Yeah, they might be. I mean, it's a SAG thing. So, but there's certainly plenty of non-union stuff going on now. Yeah,
there certainly is. Okay, well, thank you for that. You know, that report, that Hollywood report.
My pleasure, the Hollywood report with Sam. Yep.
On how things are going. What was the commercial for? Was it for masks?
No, I feel terrible. I did actually have to sign an NDA, so I don't know that I'm allowed to talk about it, but I can just say it was for something sweet.
Ooh.
Now, when you sign NDA, when you sign an NDA saying you're not going to give away the sweet, sweet product, is that NDA cover anything else? Like, were they allowed to sexually harass you too?
Oh, they definitely did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who's been to the? Have any of you been to the movies in a cinema in the last 2 week or two since they've been sort of opening up again?
Yeah, I feel bad about it, but I did.
What'd you do? Where'd you go?
Well, I went to the theater by my house to see Tenet because you have to buy tickets, specific seats. You can see if any of the seats have been filled. So I just waited until like 10 minutes before the movie and no one was in the theater. It was empty. So I bought a ticket to that. And then one other guy came in.
And you just sat really far apart from each
other. Yeah. And it still felt weird. We still kind of eyed each other a little bit, but you know, I think he had the same thought. He thought he was going to be solo too.
Yeah, but you were able to, therefore you could sit there without a mask on, or did you wear one because of the other guy?
I wore one. I wore one just in general because like that, I guess the theater employees have been in there or something, you know?
Oh, that's nice. Because I just, as soon as I see nobody else is around or everybody's far away from me, I feel like that's when the mask can come off. But
I wore it and it still didn't seem like a great idea by the end, to be honest, but you know, I give it a whirl.
And how'd you like the movie?
I don't think it makes sense.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
I mean, yeah, like you know how you think Inception kind of makes sense when you're watching it, and then you think about it and it doesn't. This never even gets that level. You're like, no, I don't think this makes sense the whole time. But John David Washington is a very good actor, and I'm going to root for him to punch people. That's where you have to just follow that part.
It seems a little more action-y actually than Inception. Like he's totally given up on trying to make it romantic or anything.
Yeah, there's very little of that. It's pretty much, I don't know, spoilers for any Tenet people, but my favorite part though is at the very beginning, they're like, we can't even tell you the premise of this. It's so complicated. We can only say the word Tenet because you'll go insane if you find out what the premise is. And then like 20 minutes later, you just find out what the premise is. And you're like, I got it. It's not that hard to hold in your head. Like, you know, I was not driven mad.
Like the Matrix.
Yeah, it's like some sort of H.P. Lovecraft Fifth Dimension or something. But no, I got it. Stuff's going backwards. I got it. It's a time travel movie.
It's not a time travel movie, dude.
It's a time inversion movie, yeah.
God, get it right. It's made 4.7 this weekend. And so a total of 36 million for 3 weeks, which is ouch. That is the biggest movie in the land has only made $36 million in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
It's quite a shame.
What would it normally make?
$200 million?
Yeah. You think in 3 weeks, like, Brian, what do you think? Do you think it's enough of a crowd pleaser that it would do that kind of business?
No, actually, I think it would have been actually a little bit of a domestic disappointment, but it's doing well in the foreign box office. I think it would have made like 150, 200 million, like full run. The people who like it are going to go see it multiple times because you have to trick yourself into thinking it makes sense.
Yeah, I just, when people are like, don't want to see that movie just because if I don't like it, which seems likely, then people are going to tell me that I didn't watch it right, or that, you know, that I need to see it again, you know, or that there's this, you know, there's several books that you should probably read first or something. And it's like, I don't want to put that kind of effort into trying to force myself into liking something. I used to do that, like with when Avatar came out and everybody went crazy for it. I was a detractor and saw it a couple more times just to try to wrap my head around why people love it so much. It turns out they love it because people don't have good taste. You know, they don't know interesting characters when they see them because there's not a single one in Avatar.
Yeah, people eat at Applebee's too, you know? It's all.
Yeah, well, that's the problem is Applebee's isn't one of mine, but I do, there are several chain restaurants that people speak of in those tones, and I love them. I think they're so good. But but that's what it all comes down to, I guess, is personal taste. The box office for the rest of the movies was just dismal. In second place was The New Mutants with 1.6 million, a total of 17.7. Everybody's disappointed by that, even people that think it looks good. Have you heard of this movie called Infidel?
No.
It's number three at the.
It sounds judgmental.
North American box office number three this last weekend is called Infidel, and I don't even know what that is. Russell Crowe is still unhinged at number four. That movie wouldn't have been in the top five for as long as it's been if it came out during normal times. Mm-mm. And SpongeBob, the latest SpongeBob movie, soaked up only $210,000. Yeah, so the box offices are hurting. If you can go see movies, I say go for it in the safest way. The our buddy Jeff Tate, he went and saw Tenet at a theater in Cincinnati where they just let you buy the theater and then you have, seven or eight friends come watch the movie and you all socially distance from each other.
Oh, that's fun. I did that.
What's that?
I did that, but I just stopped myself because the truth is I did that, but we watched my special. It was like a fun little premiere. Do you know what I mean?
It's cool. I love that.
Yeah, because I didn't get it. Otherwise, I don't know how to figure out HBO Max.
I don't know what's going on. All these streaming services now, they're just really getting, it's all so confusing, but. I just love it just because it's more opportunities to make shows and to see interesting shows and certainly more diverse ones. But speaking of diversity, our first game today, this is kind of awkward because Sam has already played this game.
Uh-oh.
And probably isn't a huge fan of it either. But I'm excited to see how Brian and Beth fare in a little bit of something I call Hanks a Lot. How many Tom Hanks movies do you think you can name in 30 seconds? It's a question I'm going to put to all of you, but I'm starting with Beth.
Okay.
Tom Hanks movies, and please don't, we can't see
don't Google.
You. Don't use your computer or any kind of reference book.
Promise I won't.
We're all in the honor system. How many do you think you can name in just 30 seconds?
I feel like, I have a lot of excuses, but I feel like just in general, having my phone and being alone so much has ruined my brain. And I'm not even going to aim high here. I genuinely think five. I'm scared.
You've got 30 seconds.
Okay, right now?
Right now, then you'd come up with five Tom Hanks movies.
Okay, are you going to count me down? Or
No. We're not doing it right now. I'm just saying that's your bid.
Yeah, I mean, I know that's low, but I'm over here just trying to think of the one that's very popular with the Wilson ball. And I can't. I'm scared. Okay, so yeah, five.
Yeah, I don't. I don't blame you for being scared. It's a tricky challenge. It's a lot for me to just throw at you.
And I am not gonna. I promise not to Google.
Now the question is, Brian.
Yeah.
Do you think you can name more than Beth just said? And if so, how many more?
I think I can do 15.
15, okay. Now, Sam just played this game the last time he was on the show.
Well, I didn't actually get to play. I said a number, and then you talked me off of it.
Yeah, you played in the sense that you were there, and then Jeff Tate ended up getting 21 movies.
Whoa!
Yeah, but my original bid was like 22 or 23, right?
I think so. I think you said 23, and I freaked out because I thought that's not possible.
Right.
And then Jeff ended up being challenged with 15.
Right.
and then managed to get 21.
Yeah. So that being the case, I would like to once again bid 23.
Oh, this is exciting.
Ooh.
Now it comes back over to you, Beth.
Okay.
You think you can do more than 23?
100% zero. No, there's zero chance I can do that.
Okay, so all you have to do...
I'm more like, I'll describe them and you tell me the title.
Yeah, that's a fun game too, but that's...
it's a different game.
We'll do that.
Oh, okay, well.
Yeah, it's fun. They have... Chemda doesn't know anything about movies or actors, so she describes trailers while her friend Keith and his competitor try to guess what movie she's talking about. And it's just the trailer, so it's just like you just basically have like 3 minutes to figure out what the hell she's talking about. But she even gets actors wrong. She's like, I think that's Matthew McConaughey, and it'll be, you know, somebody else. And so it's a real fun game. I got to do it last week, and I want a rematch because I think I can beat him at it anyway. So that's all you got to do, Beth, is just challenge Sam. And if he can't get it in 23, if he can't get 23 names, then you win this game.
Oh, great. Okay.
Yeah, it's that easy. I'm trying to make it easy for people. So, Sam, I'm going to get the clock ready.
Okay. Oh, wait, I've been challenged, I guess.
Yeah, I think she did.
Okay. I challenge you. But here's the thing. Okay. Shouldn't I go first? Because then I can just name his five.
What?
No.
Wait, is if he can't get it, I just win.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, perfect.
It's just a bidding game. And, it, you know, if you or Brian had, you know, been confident enough to bid high, then, you know, then Sam would have had to figure out what to do. But he's still excited about 23, as am I.
I'm very excited to give this a shot.
Yeah. But I also forgot to tell you, Beth, that the thing you have to say to Sam is you're the captain now.
You're the captain now. You're the captain now.
That makes it official. All right, here we go. So I'm putting 30 seconds on the clock. And you start, Sam, when I say you've got mail, and your time is up when I say splash.
Got it.
Oh!
All right. Mostly this game exists just for all that part where I just say the things I'm going to say that are from Tom Hanks movies. You got mail.
You've got mail. Splash. Dragnet. Forrest Gump. Nothing in Common. The Money Pit. Volunteers. Big. Philadelphia. Toy Story 1. Toy Story 2. Toy Story 3. Toy Story 4. Catch Me If You Can. The Terminal. Charlie Wilson's War, Angels and Demons, Inferno, Da Vinci Code, Larry Crown, Extremely Loud, Incredibly Close, Polar Express, Road to Perdition, Lady Killer. Oh.
So Lady Killers doesn't count.
He was going so fast.
Yeah, that was really good. How many did you count, Brian?
I wasn't even counting. I was amazed. He seemed to be going reverse sequentially. You know the hard ones. You're Larry Crown? That's a deep pull.
That's the only one I knew.
Rami Malek doesn't even know that movie exists, and he was the third build.
I was just going to say the one where he rides a moped with Julia Roberts.
All right, well, we're going to have to go back to the tape on that one because Sam was going so fast I couldn't keep track. And but it feels like you got there. Do you feel like you got there?
I don't.
I have no idea.
Hey, producer Ryan jumping in. I was keeping count.
Good.
And if my count's accurate, it was exactly 23.
You're kidding me. You forgot the one where Wilson is the ball.
Oh, Castaway. Yeah, I definitely didn't say Castaway.
Ryan, do that every time. Keep track like that. Thank you for doing that. I was trying to, but when Jeff did it last time, we all guessed what the number was, and we were all sort of keeping track. 23. All right. So we got a new record of 23.
Oh,
wow.
I'm so excited because I'm going to see. The thing is, you know, I don't blame them for this, but people that come on the show, they don't listen to it first generally. So I'm just going to spring this Tom Hanks game on everybody, and the listeners just get to hear different people having to deal with it. And we'll see if anybody can do more than 23, Sam. I think that record might stand for a minute.
I think so, because it's not that I didn't believe in you, Sam. It's just like you were going as fast as you could, and it still felt like there's no way he just said 23 movie titles.
Right. I was just sitting here with my eyes closed, trying to visualize every Tom Hanks movie on a giant page. And I was just sort of like imagining literally like all his movie posters on a giant poster and then just like picking them off whack-a-mole style.
You only lost a little time.
I like knowing the process.
I think you only lost time by saying extremely loud and incredibly close, which is like five titles.
That's true.
Yeah.
I should not have said that.
I don't even know that.
Big. I was like, big. Say big. It's three letters. Yeah.
Get all those tiny ones. Fuck those.
Oh, man.
Extremely Dangerous and those League of Their Own. So you got to go with the short ones.
I know. I just, you know what it was? I felt like I had a game plan in my head. And then for some stupid reason, as soon as you said Splash and You've Got Mail, I don't know why. I was like, oh, I'll just start with those. And then I completely lost all like the first eight titles I wanted to say out loud. And then I was just sort of grasping.
Yeah. I feel like just giving you a couple of titles right before you start is actually more of a distraction than a help.
Yeah. It kind of threw me off. Cause I remember last time I wanted to start with Toy Story and I think I forgot this time to do that.
When you said all of those in a row,
Toy Story 3, Toy Story 4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was incredible. Almost a turn on, you know?
Yeah. Almost.
Yeah.
Sexy.
Turn offs, Republicans. Turn ons, people who can say all four Toy Story movie titles in 4 seconds.
Next time if you play this again sometime, Sam, you should tack on, you should just throw Cars in there because there's a Woody doll at one point in the movie Cars.
I did not even realize that. All right, I'll tack on Cars.
Yeah, just go. Toy Story 1, 2, 3, 4, Cars. All right. Great job, Sam. That means you're going to get go first in our next game. I don't know if it's a game you've even played before, but we're going to play that game after this commercial break. We will be right back.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
We are back. I'm still on cloud 9 because of Sam's 23 Tom Hanks movies. Very impressive. First thing I'm going to do when we're done here is text Jeff Tate the word suck it.
maybe you should rename the game 23 and me.
try to get Jim Carrey to play it, or is he still
the number? He will not touch the number 23. You know that. He
hates that number for life. I think he'll be great playing Joe Biden, but I also feel like, do we really need someone to show us all of Biden's weaknesses and sketches leading up to the most important election ever?
What?
Hello?
No, I don't think we do.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll be so zany that it won't even be reflective of Biden. It'll be just like a fire marshal bill.
I hope so, but I feel like he's just going to make Biden look grotesque and you know, just Saturday Night Live brought down Gerald Ford as president when Chevy Chase kept making fun of him.
Damn.
That was the beginning of the end for him.
He
stumbled twice, and then Chevy Chase would fall down every week and say, "I'm the president," and just fall on his face.
Not good. And yeah. Not to mention, they don't make Trump look bad enough with Alec. It should have been Anthony and Kantmanek.
Yeah,
that would have been real.
Like Baldwin, at first I was like pro Baldwin doing it because I knew that really made Trump angry, that like a super famous guy was just showing up every week just to.
Yeah, that's true.
But then after a while of that, like Alec Baldwin just sort of walks through it. I don't feel like he's really finding new angles on the impression. He's just doing what he does. And
yeah,
so the satire is harder to, it's less stinging because it's just, you know, you're just getting used to it.
What if a lesser Baldwin played Biden, like a Stephen or a William?
Oh my God! Like Stephen Baldwin as Biden would have been so funny. I mean, it doesn't make any sense at all. They're like, but both of them would actually be playing their opposites politically, probably. But it's still fun to imagine. Okay, so we're gonna play a game we've been playing for a while now since the Zoom show started that I really enjoy playing. It's called Weird Algorithm. It's about the very strange way that the Internet Movie Database, IMDb, their algorithm for popularity takes some odd turns. So basically how this game works is when you pick any movie and click on the cast on IMDb or TV show, this is dangerous, Sam, if you want to go down a deep hole of finding out how popular you are.
No, I care not for this.
What you do is you click on a thing. After you click on cast list, it'll say you can refine it based on popularity. So you could change the cast list to everybody in order based on their popularity on IMDb at that moment when you look it up. So it's always changing and flowing, and it's really strange what the results are. Usually the top billed person in a movie is not the most popular person in that movie.
Ooh.
IMDb on that particular day. So like obviously news and, you know, current hits and things that people are talking about, all that plays a factor. Cause I think it's mostly the search engine on IMDb determines who's the most popular. So I'm going to name a movie. Sam gets to go first. Everyone's going to get a chance to go first because we're going to play three rounds. So it'll go Sam, then who should go second? Brian, and then Beth. And in this first round, I'll tell Sam the name of a movie, and he gets to go first, but everybody, you could share answers in this game, and it doesn't matter if you, you know, say out loud why you're choosing whoever you're choosing. But I'll name a movie, and the idea is to just guess who this top person is, popularity-wise, according to IMDb. That'll be worth 3 points if you get the top person, 2 points if you get the second billed person, and 2 points, or 1 point for the third billed person. And then
I really hope it's Larry Crown.
Yeah. Rami Malek.
Larry Crown, I think he'd be pretty safe to go Tom Hanks, then Julia Roberts as the top two, but you never know.
You never know. Julia Roberts could sneak in there.
Yeah, not to mention there could be a rush on Wilmer Valderrama.
Yes.
You never
especially
know.
If he freaks out soon now that Punk'd has been taken over by someone else.
Who does this even help? Whoever would want to look at the cast of a movie and have it be sorted by whoever is the most popular person at that moment?
Googling themselves.
It does. I'll tell you what it reveals for me is it quickly shows you when somebody that's known for whatever, they're a known person and they were, you know, had some tiny part in a movie. Like it unveils a lot of that. Like,
where okay.
Have like, you know, one scene in some movie, especially people that you don't really think about. Oh, I probably saw that person a lot. Like Eric Stone Street, you'd see him in stuff before Modern Family, but it didn't click until Modern Family. Now when he shows up in Almost Famous.
Like Almost Famous?
Stone Street. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Jane Lynch is another one.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, The Fugitive.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, she's in The Fugitive?
Sure is.
That's really
She's wild. The one who says the line to him. She's like, not only did these all come from healthy livers, they all came from the same liver. And then he says, Kathy, you're a beauty, or something like that. Or words to that effect. I don't know. I've seen it once or twice.
I follow up to it every night.
It's Harrison Ford's number one and is best known for.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know if he went in there, you know, and fixed it himself, but his top four doesn't have any Star Wars in it, so it makes me feel like he did.
Hmm. And by he, you mean his people?
Yeah. People that know him and, you know, right? Worry about.
I cannot for one second imagine Harrison Ford.
No, he's just shouting like at a close to Flockhart. He's like, enter the door.
He doesn't, when you're busy crashing planes or planes, you can't look at IMDb.
I don't want it to say Star Wars.
That's why he's crashing.
That's why he
crashed a plane. Listen, why does it say Star Wars? I've done real movies.
Yeah, what do you think his top four is besides The Fugitive, Sam?
Oh, God. Harrison Ford besides Fugitive. Okay, so if none of them are Star Wars, I'll go with it's got to be one of the Indiana Jones. So I'll say Raiders and it's always something recent. So like, I don't know, Firewall and
what?
Maybe a Jack Ryan. Let's go with the Patriot Games.
No, they went with Witness and Air Force One.
Raiders.
You're right.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, Fugitive, Raiders, Witness, and Air Force One really feels like Harrison Ford going, yeah, these were the ones. these were the ones where I really Witness. Got attacked and they turned out good.
Nobody talks about Witness.
Yeah. Sam?
Yeah.
Who is top billed in the motion picture called Hocus Pocus?
Oh, wow. According so this popularity. Oh, man. All right. First, I got to remind myself who's in it. Okay. It's got to be one of the three. So I'll say Sarah Jessica Parker.
One of the three.
Wow.
Which is...
Yeah, she's got a lot of fans. I'll go with SJP.
Okay. What do you think, Brian?
I would say Bette Midler because she's on Twitter a lot right now. You know?
She sure is.
She's very present.
She's taking it to them. People got mad at her for something she said recently.
What did she say?
Well, it's just funny to me. I can't remember what it was, but it's just so funny how that's how Democrats are. We start everybody starts arguing with each other.
Argue amongst yourselves.
Yeah, about, you know, like she's you know, talking shit to Trump all the time, but then somebody found some fault to have in, you know, something she said to Trump that was like, you know, sexist or racist or some, I don't know.
Mm. One time called him, remember when he posted about Washington's fake fact checker? And yeah. I said, you're a fake fat fucker. And somebody wrote to me, was like, I'm a fan of yours, but I'm fat and it bothers me that you said that. And I was like, I don't know. It's a descriptor. I've been fat too.
Like, it would have been better if he was like, I'm a fucker and I'm very offended by this.
Yeah. I responded with a picture of myself at my fattest and I wrote, I don't know if she thinks it's funny. And she goes, well, she may think it's funny, but I don't. I was like, that's me.
Beth, somebody has to stick up for fuckers.
Exactly.
What do you think? Do you think Bette Midler, then? That's your answer, Brian?
Yeah.
Okay, Beth?
Yeah, I'm actually going Bette Midler as well because of the reasons we were discussing.
I love when this happens. I love when we start off with one that gives everybody just a glaring example of how silly this algorithm is. I'm going to go all the way back to number 7 just to get in the three main witches.
Oh my god.
Coming in at number 7, Kathy and Jimmy.
Oh.
Number 6, Bette Midler.
Oh.
Whoa.
Right? Number 5, someone named Jason Marsden.
Oh yeah.
What the hell?
He's a very well-known voice actor.
Is he brother of
No, they're of no relation. Jason was on Boy Meets World for a while. He's been doing voices for 20 years.
Yeah, he was the voice of Thackeray Binks. Whatever the hell that is.
Is that Jar Jar's brother?
I don't... he's some character in... I'm not really a hocus pocus...
head.
Aficionado.
Number 4. Sarah Jessica Parker.
Oh, I just got bounced out of the
top. Yeah. Nobody gets any points this round because number 3 was an actress named Vanessa Shaw.
Oh. Okay. She's wonderful. She was in Eyes Wide Shut.
Yeah, and she's on Ray Donovan or has been recently. So I'm thinking that might have boosted her popularity. And then number 2, Doug Jones.
Oh, from It.
Yeah, from right. A Million Things. He
wait, is that who I'm thinking of? No, he's
no,
not.
No.
Not from Guillermo del Toro movies, right?
He's every other monster. You pick the one monster that. But I think Doug Jones is he's
Shape of Water.
Guillermo del Toro's guy.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what it is. He was Shape of Water. Shape of Water. Yeah, right.
I think we discussed this last time I was on. I love Shape of Water, and nobody else does. Anyway.
Yeah, that might have boosted him, and also he was recently a guest on Wide World of Doug's, and so I think that is why he's so.
That was it. Yeah.
No, he plays a character in Hocus Pocus that's very fondly remembered by everybody, and they actually know his name. It's Billy Butcherson, and so I feel like that's why he's number 2 for Hocus Pocus because of that character being so popular.
Okay.
And then number 1. Thora Birch.
Oh wow.
She's dead right now.
What
too.
Does she do?
She's on Talking Dead. The Walking Dead. Not the Talking Dead. I don't know if she's done the post Walking Dead.
You want a Thora Birch fun fact, Doug?
I do.
She's exactly 1 day older than me.
Oh, neat.
Aww.
There you go.
I did stand up. The first time I did stand up on Jimmy Kimmel Live is when they would they were really into building a couch, having all the guests stay. And so I had to do stand-up comedy where if I looked in my periph on the right side, I had to see Thora Birch and Slash.
Oh my God.
Very distracting. Very distracting.
That feels like a game show for comedians. All right, your set, do tight 5. But a former member of Guns N' Roses will always be just off to the side judging you.
Oh, my God.
Let's go to the judges. Thora, what did you think of Doug?
Duff?
Axel, what do you say?
All right.
He's like,
so that's a very exciting start to this thing because we got 2 more rounds to go. And nobody has any points. And we should Brian gets to go first this time. This movie's been coming up a lot lately because of, how it turned out to be right about too many things. The film is Idiocracy.
Huh?
I love that movie.
Lots of interesting people in that film. Who do you think, Brian Miller, came in at number 1 on this chart?
Oof. It's probably... I'm going to say Terry Crews. But I feel like it could be the lady. I don't know if I want to give the... I don't know. Maya Rudolph. Everyone knows Maya Rudolph's in that, right? If it was either Terry Crews or Maya Rudolph. But I'm going to say Terry Crews. He's in everything.
Yeah. He's
it's not Owen Wilson. No offense, don't. Nice. Or Luke Wilson, that is.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were fucking with us.
No, it's not Luke Wilson.
You're either messing with the other contestants, or I thought you were making a Owen Wilson joke.
Popular brother.
It's William Baldwin.
There you go. It's always Billy Baldwin.
Always.
All right. So he says Terry Crews. Beth, what do you think?
I'm saying Maya Rudolph because she just won an Emmy for Big Mouth.
Oh.
Which she deserves.
You like that program?
Well, she's so amazing as a puberty monster.
I think she's great as that and pretty much everything she does. I was watching last night on SNL, they reran an episode of the show where Janet Jackson was the host. And, you know, so there's lots of tit jokes because it was after the, you know, not too long after.
Right.
The Super Bowl. Probably the whole, her hosting was probably a move, a PR move to, you know, make people relax about having seen one of her tits. And so they had lots of jokes about it in the show. But it's funny, in the opening sketch, she plays Condoleezza Rice and she does a pretty good job. It's funny. But then later in the same episode on Weekend Update, Maya Rudolph comes out and plays Condoleezza Rice. And I don't think I've ever seen that on an SNL. Like, oh yeah, the host did this character, but somebody else on the show could do it better.
maybe she was supposed to do it a second time and then got scared, like hated her performance the first time.
But I don't think so. You know, Weekend Update desk, you can't just throw a host in there and have him play a full character and have him.
Yeah, I guess.
It's practically like a monologue, you know?
Oh, wow. All right.
Yeah. So, but it was just funny to me that they, you know, did that, but also Maya's great at, she did a great Condoleezza Rice. And also it's so Weekend Update trips me out when it's from several years ago, because a lot of the jokes are just like, oh man, they just basically predicted, you know, awful future. And they were sitting around laughing about it at the time.
Right.
Like Condoleezza Rice, the end of the bit with her was something about how, I think, oh man, some political figure, she makes a joke about them offering her the VP spot.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's just like, oh, that didn't happen. But you know what? If there's going to be a conservative woman in the White House, I'd take her over a lot of the stuff out there.
Mm-hmm.
Even though she defends Bush too much. Anyway, I'm sorry, listeners. I didn't mean to bring politics into this. But Idiocracy is really, if you haven't seen it, it might make you cry more than laugh at this point.
Yeah. That movie's like the most 15 years movie. Old. And it's bums me out. All right, Doug, I'm going to give you my name, and I'm probably wrong, but based on the way the top three were for Hocus Pocus, I'm going to say it's none of the leads, and I'll just pick basically the only one of the supportings who I can think of clearly right now, and it's a young man named Justin Long. I will go with him. He's very popular.
Yeah, Justin's people like him. All right.
Oh, damn. Should I have said Stephen Root?
I don't know.
Now I'll go with Justin. Now I'll go with Justin. Hey, it was my first instinct. I'll go with Justin.
Okay. Sticking with Justin. And then we got Maya. Beth picks Maya.
Yeah.
And Brian's going with Terry Crews. Coming in at number 7 in the cast of Idiocracy, Terry Crews.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I was going to say, Brian, I think he's all over the internet, but I think when he speaks on the internet, he often gets a lot of blowback.
I thought that might help him, though, you know?
Yeah, I guess.
Shows and stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like a lot of people have some real negative feelings about him right now, even though, you know, he's very funny in that movie and on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. 6th place was Sarah Rue, the actress who plays, I think she's like, doesn't she end up being like VP or something in the...
Yeah, she's in the president's cabinet or whatever.
Yeah, she's in the cabinet. Mm-hmm. And then the aforementioned Luke Wilson came in at 5. And number 4, Maya Rudolph.
Okay.
Yeah, wow. So no points for that. 3, Stephen Root. So that would have been...
No! I should have said it.
No, what? But you did yourself even one better because Justin Long came in at number 2.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that's 2 points for that. And I think he's up there because he's got a popular podcast right now called Life is Long or something like that. Life is Short with Justin Long. And then number one, and I'm happy for him. I think he's great, and he's great in the movie. Dax Shepard.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
How is he? I like him, but like, what's he doing right now that's got him at the top?
Armchair Expert is his podcast, and he's had
a really popular pod.
Every crazy, huge, famous person he's ever interacted with seems to be happy to go on with him. And that podcast is huge. All right, we've only got 1 minute left. Sorry for taking up so much time with
me. Oh, my God. Gapping.
Sam's got 2 points. Brian and Beth are pointless.
I've been told that.
Doesn't seem right.
I agree.
Who gets to go first this time? Beth does. Beth gets to go first. Who do you think is number one in the cast of The Hateful Eight?
I would love to tell you anyone in that movie. Who's first in that?
Yeah.
Josh Brolin in that?
No, but.
Okay.
Might as well be.
Okay. I know. Hateful Eight. Like,
the other guys, let's let them.
Oh, what's the guy from the Vice Principals?
Yeah, Walter Goggins.
Walter Goggins, maybe. Who's number one?
I think it's Walton, like the Waltons.
Oh, Walton Goggins.
Yeah. I like the way Sam was like, I think it's Walton. You know it's Walton.
Yeah, but I don't want
to. He was trying to be friendly about.
So nice.
Yeah. He was trying to be friendly about correcting me.
Yeah,
but that's okay.
Well, because Walton Goggins listens to this show, and I don't want him to feel like we didn't. You know.
Well, he's very talented. I just got his name wrong.
I just hate that he listens, but he refuses to come on. Like,
long time listener, first time caller. Eventually, all
right, we really got to go. As I mentioned earlier,
I'm saying Walton.
Okay, what do you think, Sam?
Samuel L. Jackson.
Brian.
Oh, Channing Tatum.
Oh God, he's so hot.
Yeah, he's under the floorboard. Spoiler alert.
Yeah. So Channing Tatum came in at number 6.
Gah!
Walton Goggins. Well, maybe Channing came in so late because he's hiding under the floor during a lot of the movie. Walton Goggins came in 4th.
Right.
Third with Jennifer Jason Leigh. 2nd, Sam Jackson.
Wow.
And number 1, because his voice does some narration, Quentin Tarantino.
Oh, wow. Oh, my God.
That's ridiculous.
Sam, you win. What do you got to plug?
Check out Immortal on VOD, but also watch the movie Hot Shots or Hot Shots Part 2, which I just did. And I think I'm going to have to start calling you Tug Benson now.
Great movies.
Yep.
All right.
Sorry. He's president.
Brian Miller, Thomas, you got to plug.
I'm going to be at Acme Comedy Company on November 18th to the 21st. And also, if you like horror stories, I've got a couple of horror stories out on the Drabblecast and one in a book called Shadowy Natures. So you can look those up on Amazon. And Drabblecast is free.
Cool.
Shadowy natures, it's okay.
Okay. Go to Acme if you're in Minneapolis or St. Paul or nearby. Beth?
Yes. Beth, and watch Girl Daddy on HBO Max.
Yes.
HBO Max. Figure it out, you guys.
Yes. Max free Levine, trial. My brother. Make sure you watch it. You get a free subscription on account of your name being Max.
Okay.
Exactly.
I'm doing my stand-up show on rushtix.com on October 3rd at 4:20 Pacific time. Thank you once again to Sam Levine, Brian Miller, and Beth Stelling. And as always, oh, Captain, my Captain, times 2.
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of Gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart.